And now, young Widder Brown. After learning from his fiancée, Ellen Brown, about the peculiar actions of Christopher Simpson, Dr. Anthony Loring is paying Christopher a visit at the home of Louise Simpson, the widow of his older brother, Alex. As Anthony now comes into the room, he is conscious of interrupting an argument between Christopher and Madeline Harper, the only person who knows Christopher actually killed his brother. And it is Madeline who speaks first, saying,
"Well, Anthony?"
"Hello, Madeline. Christopher, I thought I'd stop by to see you."
"Thanks, Anthony."
"It's an unfortunate time you chose."
"I'm sorry."
"It isn't unfortunate at all. Madeline was just going."
"I..."
"Goodbye, Madeline."
"Very well. Goodbye, Christopher. Goodbye, Anthony."
"Goodbye. I didn't want to interrupt anything, Christopher. I merely came by."
"Madeline's been screaming at me again. I'm glad you came."
"Well..."
"I'm pretty much of a mess, aren't I?"
"I wouldn't say that. Things are bad for you. All of you are on edge. Your brother has died. The circumstances of his death were unpleasant. His widow, Louise, is being the heavy sister-in-law to you. And Madeline, well, Madeline is something of a strain at all times."
"What are you trying to do, Anthony?"
"What do you mean, what am I trying to do?"
"Just that. What are you trying to do? Why are you being kind?" "I think I know."
"Christopher, I've come by because you're in the outpatient department of the hospital now. I've come by to find out how an old patient is."
"No, I don't think so. I think you've come to ask questions. To find out answers to..." "I don't know, maybe not."
"I think you're pretty mixed up right now, Christopher. Why bother to talk about these things? Why don't you just relax?"
"Because I don't want to."
"I came by to tell you that if anything is wrong, I'll be glad to help in some way."
"What did Ellen tell you about me, Anthony? What did she say?"
"She said you seemed disturbed."
"Is that all she said? Anthony, I'm not terribly clear about a lot of things. I don't think clearly."
"Christopher, the finest thing you could do for yourself would be to go away."
"You too."
"For a rest, honey. You're jumpy. You're laboring under terrific strain. You can't possibly go on like this."
"What should I do? Should I let her put me away? Should I spend the rest of my days in the sanatorium? It wouldn't be a private one like a father's here, you know. Louise is out to punish me. Punish me because I'm Alex's brother, her dead husband's brother."
"Christopher, there's no point in our talking like this. It only makes you worse."
"Alex destroyed me. And he did a good job of it, Anthony."
"You need help. The kind of help that I can't give you. But you need it. You're in a serious way."
"What kind of help?"
"I think that you want to talk out all your problems. But you're suspicious of all of us."
"A psychiatrist, you mean?"
"I think that would be a good idea."
"Is that how they'll do it? She and Madeline? Is that how they plan to do it?"
"Plan what?"
"To get rid of me. Alex wanted to, you know. Alex felt I was merely a drain on him. And now Louise feels that even the little money I get from the estate, I don't deserve."
"Chris, there's no point in my even trying to discuss this with you. You've decided that the world is against you."
"Are you going?"
"Yes. There's little point in my staying here."
"I didn't think Ellen would run to you. I confided in Ellen. I needed a friend. But she ran right to you, didn't she?"
"She thought I could help you more than she was able to."
"No. She was afraid of me."
"There's no reason to be afraid of you, Christopher. You're not a very fearsome person."
"Oh, no. No, Christopher Simpson has never been anyone to frighten a person, has he? Walk all over him. He'll never strike back." "Alex doesn't say that now. Not now. In whatever corner of the hereafter he finds himself in, he doesn't sneer at Christopher now."
"Well, Christopher, this has all been pretty bad for you. Look, let me give you some kind of a sedative. After a couple of nights' good sleep, you'll find you can look at things rather cheerfully."
"Of course, Anthony. A little pill will take care of everything. You doctors can always give a little pill. I didn't use even that to get what I wanted. I didn't use anything but my brains and my own hands. All right, Anthony. Drug me up. Fix it so that I never wake. I don't care. Now, isn't that strange? I simply don't care."
And as Anthony takes out his pad of prescription blanks and his fountain pen, concealing his concern over Christopher's irrational talk, Ellen is in her tea room sorting out menus. And the door opens to admit Madeline Harper, who says very briskly,
"Well, Ellen, what did he tell you?" "Oh, Madeline, just a minute. What did you say? I'm a little occupied here."
"I want to know what Christopher told you and what you're going to do with what you know."
"Oh, dear.
I want to know, Ellen. I intend to know. I knew he couldn't possibly conceal from you that he'd been here. Christopher is a fool, and he's a little out of his mind, Ellen. You shouldn't believe anything he tells you. I don't think I need you to tell me what to believe and what not to believe, Madeline. And I know that I don't like your peremptory manner. In other words, you're going to hold out on me. You're not going to tell me what Christopher said. Uh-huh. It was all lies, anyway. Madeline, I'm having quite a crowd for supper tonight, the Garden Club's annual dinner. Wouldn't be asking too much.
And what will you do when I go? Telephone Anthony Loring about my visit, as you did about Christopher? Run to him with some stupid idea that you have in your head about us?
I have only one idea in my head about all of you, Madeline. You and Christopher and Louise. Alex, too. Heaven forgive me. And that is, I wish you'd never come here, that I'd never met you.
That's certainly putting it plainly enough.
Oh, please, Madeline, stop it. Will you stop?
Why should I? You, with your well-ordered little life. You, with your 2 pennies worth of security and peace.
I don't think I have to apologize for that.
Nothing ever happened to you to jolt you out of your smugness, did it? Small-town girl with small-town ideas. Content to stay a little frog and a little fool.
Why in the world are you pouring out all this at me, Madeline?
What's wrong with you? You be friends with Louise. I see it coming. You be friends with her. And the two of you and all your other dull little friends in Simpsonville will live happily ever after.
Madeline, you're not well.
But I can throw a bombshell. Maybe she wouldn't pay me for them. Maybe they're not worth it to her. But I can get my innings this way. Here.
Here what?
Here is Louise's diary and the love letter she wrote to Anthony Loring.
Why are you giving them to me?
To make trouble. I think this will jolt you, Ellen, and that's what I want to see.
Madeline, please take these letters and this diary. I don't want them. They aren't mine.
You'd never believe anything wrong about that man of yours, would you? The good doctor would never do anything that wasn't strictly honorable. Well, read Louise's diary, Ellen. Read her letters. Read them and weep.
Ellen looks for a long time at the packet of letters and Louise's diary. Then she picks them both up and walks into her house with them through the connecting door to her living room. And now, seated on her sofa, the book and the letters in her lap, Ellen considers.
This is it, I guess. This is when you have to decide for yourself how honorable or dishonorable you are. Here they are, Louise's diary and her love letter. All the proof I need of just how close she and Anthony were during those years in Chicago. Why do I need proof? What in the world am I trying to prove?
Just a minute. I'll be right there. Oh, don't hurry, Ellen. The screen door was unlatched.
Oh, Louise, hello.
Oh, it's a full day for me. This day of my husband's funeral, Ellen.
I think you should go home to bed and rest, Louise.
Now, there's a nice point. I think I need some kind of chaperone. Christopher's there at the house, you know, alone. And I'm a widow, and people talk.
Oh, I doubt that very much, actually. You have your housekeeper with you.
In other words, I can't find sanctuary here any longer.
I don't see the necessity of it, Louise. What? As a matter of fact, you've been rather rude to me, rather unpleasant. I don't see why I should...
What is that?
What is what?
On the table. It's my diary and my letters, isn't it?
Yes. Madeline brought them. She wants to make some kind of trouble, any kind. So she left them here. I haven't read them.
Why not?
I don't read things like that without people's permission, Louise.
She tried to sell them to me, you know, and I refused. Now she hates me for that. So she came and gave them to you.
You may have them, Louise. I don't want them. They only constitute a problem to me.
No, you keep them. And you have my permission to read them, Ellen. What do you think of that?
I don't know what to think of it, Louise.
My letters to Anthony and my diary. Keep them and read them, Ellen. I think you ought to know a lot of things you haven't wanted to know before. I think, actually, I'm going to be a little grateful to Madeline after all.
How will this strange challenge be met by young Widder Brown?